Thanks, Sean. Amen. Thanks, Sean. Morning to everyone. Those who I haven't greeted, those who don't know me, I'm Ruan. Nice to meet you. You'll see that I've got our first year of gathering. I'll share a little bit on that now. But as many of you know, it's school holidays for most of the schools, so that's why we thinly spread. A bunch are out and about. Took the opportunity to go and rest, and you would think that, you know, with lockdown and all of that, that people were at home, they would have rested. But I found that, you know, even something like that, where everyone has gone through a, they were told to stay at home. You know, people don't like to be told to do something. So even then, if you're told to do something, it feels like work. You know, but if you can choose on your own to go on holiday, then you rest. a number of people, I think, everywhere, it's getting to the end of the year. People are tired. So we're glad that some can go away and rest. Some of you might be planning some weekends away, and we want to encourage you to do that. Fritz sent us a little, Fritz and his daughter Pippa. They went to bungee jump this weekend. They had what, Blaukrans? So what's the? He sent us a little video clip. It's far that you fall. So that's where they are the weekend. And then this weekend coming, we as eldership couples, we're going to go away for just a bit of together time, being together, praying together, and just have that time. So we're going to not see you this Sunday coming, but in our place, you're going to have one of your other elders, Modus, and the team from Wellington is coming. So I want to encourage you, come be. It's what happens now when us and the Wellington guys meet up. It feels like a reunion, eh? They're going to come through, and I'm excited. Just, I'm bummed that I'm not here. I know Morris and I have spoken a little bit, and he's got a really good message that I believe is for us in this time. So that's happening this Sunday coming. And then we've been asked to go to Namibia just soon after that. So we're just praying about in what capacity we're going. But then for the next 2-3 weeks, I'll definitely be away, and we'll see how the family, they're probably either coming with or not. We're just praying about that. And that's all the movements that's taking place currently. This evening, I'm going to Stellenbosch to go to the congregation there, Josh Jens. So if anybody wants to come with, you're welcome. Cassie, you go, is it next week at Wellington PM? The 8th of November. Gus is going to Wellington PM. So if you want to go join there, let's do it. Yeah, next week he's actually with us. But lots of movement, lots of things happening, and I want to encourage you to grab hold of those opportunities where you can, obviously. But this is part of, as you know, we've been looking at the priesthood of all believers. And it's an Old Testament picture or way how God worked with the people as having priests, intermediaries, mediators of how he, people coming to God through the priest, they were worshiping on behalf of the nation, and then God speaking to the nation through the priests and the prophets. And so now he actually, for us, believing in Jesus, all of us have access to God without having somebody to go on our behalf. And we can now go to the people, and it's not the only the preachers or only the, it's every single believer can go to people on behalf of God. And so we become this in-between kind of people, a peculiar people, a holy people. The Bible says a royal priesthood, and we declare the praises of God unto him as we do, but also to the people. And so, in a soft way, we're going to have the first week in February, we're going to have a real makiti and celebration. But most of you will remember a year ago, pretty much, we started to gather there at Big Miracles. And I've got a few photos you might not be able to see so clearly, but excuse me, a few of you are on there. And we were sent from Melkbos to here. You were sent from Wellington to here and all different other places. And we came together to be a church, to be what the Bible speaks of, a called out people, a people that are called out for a specific purpose. And so at moments like annually, we want to remind ourselves of that. We want to remind ourselves of, you know, we were looking for a venue and we couldn't find a venue. And then at random, we have this conversation with a lady that says, we can't meet at their current venue, but she's got a little school and it's called Big Miracles. And I just knew, that's it, we're going to get there. And it was an old prison where we met. The prison bars were still on with little, and we reminded ourselves that once we were prisoners in of sin, but now we are prisoners of hope, prisoners of the Lord. Once we were bound by sin, but now we are liberated, and we can actually go out to those who are bound and who are fixed in sins and addictions and things like that, that they can't get out. And it's a big miracle. And we gathered there, as you see, one thing that stays with us. Do we have a picture there? I think we had I had a picture there somewhere, but there we are, Lisa and Bernadette. Pancakes. It's part of us, eh? We've got it travels with us wherever we go. But we came together, and these are just so such beautiful pictures, together praying, together with the Lord, together. Constantly, there's this coming together. The church cannot be one person on their own. In the word, it means that it's people together gathering for God's sake, that He has called us together. And we are one of many churches in this valley. But we've got to play a role, and God has sent you and me. He's called us, and He has sent us for a specific purpose. And so that's why we do this. Why do we do this? Do it for the love of God and love of people. Love of God and love of people. And in that, I mean, it just trickles out in so many different ways. But love, those are the two. We've got a great command and a great commission. The great command is love God with your whole heart, all your mind, all your strength. And like it, love your neighbor. The great commission is go out to your neighbor and love them. Go out and love God in the midst of this world. And so you can't have the great commission without the great command. And the great command in itself falls short if there's no great commission. And so as we consider even the priesthood, and why are we speaking about the priesthood? It's an identity that takes these two in one. It says, we worship God and we love God with all our heart. We go out and we love the people. We are called unto God. We are called to the people. We are sent to the people. And so that we've got to think of over and over and over. We've got to have the Bible. We've got to have the commands of God be the filter through which we look at all the things. The Word of God, as Cassie was mentioning, Lord, we don't know, but You know. What does God say about every single situation? Simple things even like, you know, we being asked to go to Namibia. It's like, how do we go to Namibia? What should be done? The aim of our charge is love. Paul was writing to Timothy and he says, guys, there's lots of things happening. And there's lots of words in the Bible. But the aim of this is love. And so we remind ourselves even this morning, and I want us to just stand still again and just, hey, with all the priesthood and the Old Testament stuff, we were looking at some Levitical stuff and it's like complicated. I had somebody tell me this week, he used to think like, you know, the New Testament gets quite complicated. Old Testament was easy, you know, just straightforward. But Ruan, you've now let me understand that the Old Testament was very complicated. Now I don't know. And sometimes we get distracted with some of the nitty-gritties, you know, make friends with the worldly people, with your finances, as Sean was saying this morning. What does that mean? And it's important for us to search the Scriptures and to sit with it. But we should not let it distract us from the main thing. Love God, love people. Love, love God in the best way you can. Ask Him, how do we love you, Lord? How do I love you in this situation? And then just around you, your spouse, your children, your friend, your colleague, how do I love? That's the simple gospel. God loved me abundantly, lavishly. He loved me before I loved Him. He loved me before I knew about Him. He did everything. He took the first step. He's the great bridegroom, the great, I almost want to say the boyfriend is almost like it doesn't feel right sometimes, but it's such a, He's the great one that initiates this love relationship. The great bridegroom says, He's the first one to say, will you marry me? And then we respond, ah, yes, God. He first says, I want to forgive you. Then we ask, will you forgive us? We receive your forgiveness. I want to. And then we respond. And so this is a love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And that love becomes like a dawn, like the sunrise. I mean, we're privileged with the mountains here. I love it. To see how a sun comes up. It's always fresh. It's always new. It's always different. There's different things. And God is just this incredible artist that paints it each morning differently. It's the same season, but yet it comes. It's the same week, but the next day it's new. It's fresh. And that's the way that God's love comes to us. It's always fresh. Like the manna of the Israelites. He said, you need to take it daily. Don't store up. It's like daily it was fresh. It was new. And so we consider as we can look at God and each day it's fresh. Lord, your love is new. I can know cognitively about your love and all the scriptures, but when I sit and I look to you and I have like a quiet time, it's new, it's fresh. And so when God called us to Paul, it's to have that. It's not just to go and do a bunch of stuff. It's going to go and experience Him in a fresh way. And then declare that to people. And say, hey, there's a dawn for you. There's a new day for you. Irrespective of your situations. And we go through difficult times, great times. But every day, it's new mercies, as the Bible says. Every day. So I want us to just briefly, in light of that, in light of considering, hey, last year we started together. We actually had a time in a library there in Paul Boys High. We've met different places, and we spoke about being the gypsy church in some way. And that's so important because through our actions, we are learning not to trust in the physical brick and mortar. That's not the church. It's here. They're sitting here. And sometimes, even though we know it in our minds, because we go and gather at the same place on a weekly basis, we build a definition in our hearts that it's the place. We're going to church on Sunday. We're going to. And so we oftentimes try specifically with our boys to try and say, we're going to meet with the church. We're going to gather with the church. We use words and we try and describe it in a way that they can realize that it's not these bricks and the structure, it is the people. Uncle Sean is the church. Auntie Estella, she's the church. Alvin and Tani Emma, they're the church. It's like together, we are the church of God. And so as we look at the priests and God saying, I want all of us, I want you to be priests. This morning I want to just briefly touch on this putting on love issue. Now, without getting into the complicated stuff about the Old Testament, how the priest would go but before God. And you knew they had to go through different rituals and things so they can be clean. They also had to wear specific clothes. They could not just wear. God had specific instructions. They were not allowed to mix wool and linen. Only linen. It was interesting for the high priest now. He could, when they worked with the people, they could wear wool and linen. But when they came before God, it was only linen. Before the people, he had it was quite elaborate and very fancy clothes. And it was to set them apart. When the people saw the high priest, they knew, this is the high priest. He's dressed differently. He looks different. He is special. He's holy. But when they went in to the Holy of Holies. That was the place where God's presence dwelt. They had to go in simple linen, bare, simple faith. Isn't that interesting how we oftentimes, we think before the people, we should just look all casual and all of that, but, and I'm not now speaking about our dress code, but we want to be simple before people, but when we go before God, we put on all the best behavior, we put on all the right words, thou, we even say a few, you know, big Bible words, and we try and dress up, you know, and how God shows it in the Bible, how he wants it, he almost wants it the other way around. Simple faith. Simple faith before him. They had to put on linen. Linen, and as in one portion it says, so that they would not sweat. You think, this in the desert, it's hot. It's all they're going to sweat, you know, in any case. But God was like saying specifically, I don't want them to sweat before me. And it refers to, it signifies that he did not want his people to labor in their own strength. The way that we need to live before him is in response to his love. It's not our own works that make us righteous. It's his work of love, his work of righteousness, his forgiveness, his enablement that gives us strength. And so the Old Testament is full of symbolism like that. And so this morning, as we consider our garments that we put on as we are now New Testament priests, Bible oftentimes speaks of putting on love. We were driving, obviously, to here this morning, and again going over the river, we saw a few people being baptized, and they had these white kind of garments, and the boys were asking, why are they getting baptized in such a dirty river with white garments? You know, kind of that was the one question. But then the conversation went on, and they said, you know, that because they know Jesus. And one boy says, yeah, I know Jesus. And we're asking, you know, what makes us Christians? And it's when we know Jesus. And then we said, but the devil also knows Jesus. Now they start thinking, yeah, but I know him long. No, the devil's known. So now we're playing a bit with their minds and asking them, how do they know? I know his name and I know of the Bible. Then we also tell us a bit of the books of the Bible. Genesis, John, Peter, and then they start mentioning all the disciples. We thought, oh no, we've got to do some work. The pastor's children don't know the books of the Bible. But they know Jesus. Yeah, so now he comes out. Now, the devil started sinning, and then he forgot about Jesus. And so he forgot everything about. But nonetheless, so now we start, okay, the fruits. And we start speaking about fruit and trees, and how do we know that we are Christians? There's fruit. There's specific things that the world could see. That it's an indication that they probably know God. Now we know that our works alone don't reveal that we belong to God. It is first a deep revelation of Jesus and receiving his offering, receiving his forgiveness. But then it flows out. And Paul comes in the New Testament and he writes about this new life. He says, guys, you've been made new in your heart. You've received forgiveness. You are a new creation. Now put on love. Put on the deeds that fit with the identity. Put on the deeds and the kind of life that fits with what happened inside. Let your minds be renewed by what happened inside. It's not no longer working from outside to the in, but it's from the inside out. And that's with the priests. They came and they came first before God. They stepped, they received the offering and they brought worship before the Lord. And God was in his presence there. And then they moved out and they ministered to the people from the inside out. And so two portions of scripture I just want us to briefly look at. Isaiah 61 verse 10 is that well-known portion that Jesus quotes when he steps for the first time into the synagogue and he's now going to minister. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news. And he goes on. And then it goes, verse 10, the prophet says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. And so the prophet is writing here in very symbolic terms. And if you read the Old Testament, you've got to know that you look at the Psalms, and so the Hebrew nation, they had lots of symbolism in their writing, and it would be, this means that. And so if you and I read the Bible, we've got to know that God works in symbolism. And so he says, you know, I've been clothed like a bridegroom, or like a priest. I've been clothed with salvation, with righteousness. It's interesting, Genesis, you remember with Adam and Eve. And they disobeyed God and they sinned. What was the first experience? Their first experience was, oh shucks, I'm naked. And what do? They get leaves. And they sew it to one another. I don't know how they did that. I work a little bit with leather. And I can understand when you sew that together and it's like, but leaves, that's not a good material to sew with, you know. But in any case, it's like almost like Sean said this morning, it will end quicker than the end. You know, it's forever. But now they've got leaves. And so that whole picture there is an image or is a symbol of how they try to cover themselves. Again, their own strength, their own works. And then you see this beautiful moment where God comes and he forgives them. And he says he covers them with skin of animal, with leather, a better thing. But he does it. He covers them. They don't have to sweat for themselves. They don't have to work for themselves. It was an act of righteousness because there was an offering, a sacrifice. Do you remember I said that the blood, the life is in the blood, and so some other life had to pay for their sin. And now God starts to bring this picture in, that the people would understand some blood needs to flow for you to be cleansed from your sin. Over and over in the Bible, he echoes it until Jesus comes. And it's the final one whose blood was shed for us. And so here the prophet says, we are clothed with salvation. We are clothed with righteousness. I don't have to be naked and ashamed and, oh, like, I don't belong. I'm dirty before God. I'm not. No, when I receive his forgiveness, I am clothed. I can hold my head up high. I can come before him like he's a dad, a loving dad, an accepting dad. And then in Colossians, Paul writes and he says, put on then. You, as God's chosen ones, remember the priests were chosen, they were called. And now he says, you who have received Jesus, you are chosen, you are holy, you are beloved. I mean, when somebody asks you, tell me a little bit about yourself, if you go for an interview or so. I mean, it might get awkward. Tell me a bit about yourself. Well, I'm loved by God. That's my identity. I'm a loved one. I'm beloved. I'm somebody that's worthy in that sense. Now, I know in ourselves, but God chose, in his choice, he said, I want you. I'm wanted. Not because I stole something. not like the Western, you know, wanted. I'm wanted by God. I think... Sorry for the thing, but I can imagine if heaven was like an old Western, all of our pictures would be up, wanted. That would be classic. Yeah, most wanted. The price for it, Jesus' blood. Isn't that beautiful? I think if I was an illustrator, I would have had the weirdest pictures that I would put up. But so he says, you beloved, now compassionate, put on compassionate hearts. Put it on. It's like something that you need to think of. Yes, you were born again. Yes, you are forgiven. But you've got to be thoughtful in your life. You've got to put on. It's like an action. It's like intentional. Put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on patience. Put on, in this sense, bearing with one another. And if one is a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Can you see again something that has happened inside? I've been forgiven. He's been patient with me. He's been compassionate with me. He's been all of that with me. Now I can be that. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Binds it all together. It's the summary of it all. Put on. We've got three boys, and the process of teaching how to put on clothes, how to get dressed, is funny, it's frustrating, it's endearing, it's all the different process, because, and if you, girls, it seems like they don't do it, but for some reason, the first place where the underwear goes for a boy is on top of his head, and then he goes, and he runs. You know, and it's a fun thing. And then the clothes are, you know, the tag. We say the tag must be get behind. No, the tag is always here in front. And he's like, you know, walking. And then somewhere you see, but where's these pockets? And the boy, he's turned the pants under, you know. And then both legs go into the one. No. And then he's got, now it's buttons. That's higher grade, you know. Now, and there's always this one button on top that's still left. And we keep on doing that even when we're adults at times. Né? It's like, oh, shucks. And so what I want to say through this putting on is you don't always get it right immediately. It's a process of learning how to put it on right. Putting on love, sometimes I think I'm loving and I want to say something and then it comes out all wrong. I've buttoned it up all wrong and I actually hurt somebody when my intention was to bless them. And that's why we need to grow in love. And the family is such a beautiful picture of learning how to grow in love. Learning manners. Learning when to say a good thing. Learning when to speak in a corrective way. Learning how to... We learn it. And so we sometimes think because we are called to be it, we're perfect from the start. But the Bible says that even Jesus grew in wisdom. Even Jesus learned obedience. He never sinned, but there was this image of growing up into, maturing. And so God calls us all as priests. He calls us as people that will have access to Him, that will be like He can point on the world. He can say, look at the church. They are like me. We are called to be His body. And then, and so they will know that you are mine because of the love that you have for one another. But that love comes out all wonky and buttoned up wrong, and sometimes the auntie is on the head, and it's like, you know, it comes out, but it keeps on growing, and it keeps on endeavoring to love God and love people. And so this morning, in a sense, as we remind ourselves, 1 year. Gathering as a church, there's a sense of mission. There's a sense of we want to touch this valley with the love of God. We remind ourselves that we have been touched by God. We want to touch His heart first. And then we want to go and touch the people. We remind ourselves that it's not all perfect at once. We learn and we look into the mirror of the scriptures, and now and again we see, hey, this is how it needs to be, but it's wrong way around. And so we open ourselves to one another that they say, hey, you've missed this, or you don't have that button right, or so, oh, your shoes are still untied. All of that, we remind ourselves we're growing in love. But it's an intentional thing. You've got to give yourself. You've got to put on that love. It's not just up here. It's not just in here. It is something that takes up the whole body, spirit, soul, and body. We love God. So, hey, let's be a blessing. We have been blessed by God to be a blessing. And we look at these pictures and we remind ourselves, hey, here's a just like a signpost. Hey, let's remember we're still on this way. This is the way that we go. And it's not a physical place. It is an eternal dwelling. It is a kind of people that we want to be, that God has called us to be. It's a kind of a life that we are to live. And we are growing in it. Amen. So let's remind ourselves of that. Can we for a moment, just before the Lord, just we were saying Jesus, we were whispering Jesus earlier this morning. And it's so interesting that Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, the life. In the temple, there was an outer court, a holy place, and a most holy place. And in some traditions, the Jews would speak, it was the way, the outer court, the truth, the holy place, and the life, the holy of holies. And so it's this, there's always this symbolism that speaks of, hey, we're coming by the way of Jesus. It's not just his commands, it is his life. And so, Lord, as we stand before you, we remind ourselves that we are yours. We are yours. You define us. You bless us. You call us. You send us. You uphold us. You nourish us. Lord, you forgive us. You enable us, Lord. It's everything is you, Lord. We sometimes become almost uncomfortable with how much it's all about you. But you are at the center of it. You are around it. You are in front of it. You are at the back of it. You are beneath it, Lord. In God, we live and move and have our being. And if there's something that the Lord's just revealing in your heart, that you've forgotten to put on love. Like my boy would say, that the Satan has forgotten. But maybe there's just been a temptation. There's just been something in the way that you've lived unaware, unintentional. You're not so thoughtful. You know in your heart that Jesus loves you, but you're not reminded of it in a daily way, on a daily basis. Put on love. Put on love. Put it on this morning. Towards that friend or that spouse, that child, that colleague. Put it on. Towards yourself. Put it on. Jesus, we bless you. And we thank you for your grace and your kindness, Lord. May this week be a time just of continually putting on love, putting on patience, putting on, Lord, the fruit, the way of life of Jesus. Now I want to ask as we finish off, if there is anyone that you just need prayer, maybe prayer for healing, prayer for an ailment, prayer for a situation that you are facing, we'd love to pray with you. And I'm going to wait here a while, and we'd love just to agree with you, and let's trust God for His way. Might look like a bunch of dead bones, but Lord, you know. And we want to pray for God's knowledge and God's will into that situation. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Sean, you have anything else?
Repeat after me. I am a priest. Clothed by God. To do good works. One more time. I am a priest. Have you ever, I am a priest of the living God. clothed in righteousness, to do good works. When you walk out of here, you're a priest. I don't walk out here thinking that, but so you can remind me that I'm a priest to you and to Paul and to this world, you know? And may the love of God flow through you this week. But yeah, we're going to be here, so don't leave this place without being ministered to. And Bernadette wants to say something quickly.
So during the times when we just prayed together, I saw this picture of a body busy forming, and then one of the fingers or the toes or whatever was not forming right, and then the body was like realizing, oh, this isn't right, and it tried to fix it by actually just forming like another finger. So then the person ended up having six fingers, which actually makes it worse at the end of the day. And I feel like, even just to confirm with Ruan's message, it's in our own efforts, it's really going to come out messed up. But if you give it over to God, then he fixes it. He takes it away. We can't take away the finger that's grown because it's there. But God can. He's the creator. He can take it away and he can make it new even.
Amen. Bless you. Hang around. There's still coffee.